Amen. And that's one of the things, you know, as we've been talking about miracles, you know, and I just want to, we know God does things in our midst. And I think some of the reason that we don't hear about it is we just don't communicate it. It's a communication problem. And so I just want to encourage you, as God is doing things in your life, we want to hear what God's doing. Because, again, if we're believing that he's doing miracles, he's going to do them. And as they happen, we want to hear about them. And so I just encourage you, if God's doing things in your life, and I would love to hear about them, the other pastors, Pastor Jim and Ryan, or our staff, we just want to testify to what God is doing. And so if you have a miracle going on in your life and your family, we'd love to rejoice with you in that. Because we truly are in the season of doing a miracle. As we've been talking about the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of Jesus, he's going to perform those things in our midst. And so we're going to continue this morning to talk about them. Last week, Pastor Ryan talked about God with us, right? And because God's with us, we have some promises, right? The promise that we've been saved. Pastor Ryan talked about the promise of us getting a new name from God. And then that even as we walk through the things of life, that we don't have to be affected by those things, but we could walk through and get through those things of life because God is walking with us. Today, we are going to take it one step further, and we're going to be talking about God through us, because I believe that the miracle of Christmas that happened 2,000 years ago, God wants to continue to do those miracles in our lives, but he wants to continue to do those miracles through us as well. And that truly is part of the miracle that we get a witness together as we see God doing things through us even this morning. So would you read with me? I'm going to read a familiar story out of Luke chapter 1, part of the Christmas story, and then we're going to just make some parallels, but read with me. I believe you can follow along behind me. But it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was supposed to be married to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Right? Nothing wrong with the question, right? Just a question. How is this going to happen, God? And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, she also has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to as your word says." And the angel departed from her. So the title of the message today is God Through Us. And what an awesome story. Could you imagine being in Mary's situation and Mary's shoes? And literally, the whole story is just a big miracle. And I want to look at that this morning. But I can't help but to think, and this is just how my mind works, but I often think about the methods of God. Okay, the word method, right? We know what that word means, and if not, we're going to talk about it. But I think about the methods of God, because this is a miracle that takes place. And I'm thinking, well, God, well, what are you doing? I'm kind of a big picture thinker. I like to know my steps and align them up. And so I like the word method. A lot of you engineer types and, you know, critical thinkers, you like that word too. There's got to be a method. We've all heard the cliche that says there's a method to your madness. Has anyone ever been told that before? Is there some sort of method to this madness, or is it just crazy? The word method means this. It means a particular form of procedure, a way of accomplishing something, a way of approaching something, especially a systematic or established way. Okay, so there's a method. There's a way of doing things. It goes on in it. Some other words that are similar. There's a procedure. There's a technique. There's a way of doing something, a way to practice it. It talks about routine, a process, right? We like those. Just tell me the process. And it has a lot to do with our behavior. Okay, so I like to think about the method because we all could probably agree this morning that God wants to do miracles, right? We all could probably agree this morning that we would love to see more miracles in our midst. And we love to talk about the miracle. We love to preach about the miracle. But I believe that the heart of God is very interested in the method of the miracle. Okay, when I say the method of the miracle, I'm talking about what's going on in the story. What's going on in your life that, yeah, the miracle's going to happen, and that's going to be a boom shakalaka moment where it happens. But I like to talk about what's going on because I believe the method of the miracle is so close to the heart of God. Because I believe God's methods, just like your methods and the way you do your life, reveals a lot about your upbringing. It reveals a lot about how you were raised or how you do things. I believe that the methods of God reveal a lot about his character. Right? So if I can look at what God's doing, I can look at how he's doing it, and then I can get to know a little bit more about the heart of God. I believe that it's often in the method that the miracle happens that will cause you to really grow in your faith. Have you ever had those moments where like you totally weren't expecting a miracle? Things were, your life was in shambles, and then all of a sudden, a miracle happened, right? Those are those moments in your life where your faith grows. Those are those moments in your life where you feel so close to the heart of God. But I believe also in the method of the miracle is where a lot of seeds of doubt come into our lives, right? Where things are just not looking good and we're thinking, how in the world is any good going to come out of this situation? I believe it's in that method as well that we really need to be careful because God still wants to perform the miracle in our lives, okay? So I believe that the miracle that we see is a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. Okay, it's a reminder. Anytime God does a miracle, we know, God, you're faithful. But I believe that it's in the method that the miracle is being birthed that we get to know God's character, God's nature, and his heart towards us. In those moments where, okay, there's got to be a reason for this. Okay, that's where God wants to reveal himself to you in a whole new way. You know, so here in our text that we just read, we have an angel visiting a young lady, but it's not just a normal angelic visitation. I don't know how many angelic visitations you've had, but this isn't just a normal one. This is an angel sent from God that is revealing the master plan to save the nations of the world. And to bring hope to you and I. So this is like a big plan. This isn't just God doing another angelic visitation. This is God starting that master plan out and putting the steps in motion to see the world get saved. So we're going to talk as God is doing these miracles. We need to understand that God really wants to do the miracles through us. That we're not just here to watch him do miracles, but he wants us to be a conduit, or he wants us to be someone that takes those miracles, takes his heart, and releases those things onto everyone else that we come into contact with. Because I believe inside the method is great opportunity. Okay, there's great opportunity that we can learn in the methods of the Lord, of what he's doing, how he's doing. And I love the how, right? And that's the question we all ask. Well, how's it going to work? Well, you know, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about when it's working, how you're going to get to know the heart of the Lord. So I want to go forward a little bit to Romans chapter 11, a few books forward from Luke. And I want to read out of 11:33 through 36. And this is Apostle Paul talking, and he's talking to the Roman church. I mean, he says this. He says, verse 33, this is the end. Here towards the end of Romans, but it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways!" Exclamation mark. Okay, can't forget that. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Okay, and I have a feeling he's doing it in a sarcastic way. For from him, from God, and through him, and to him are all things. And to him be glory forever. Amen. So in context, okay, because this is like, well, what in the world has gone on to have him say this? Like, what happened before this in the story? Well, in context, you got to understand what was going on inside the church, okay, inside the nation of Israel. Paul had just spent the past 2 hours and the past 2 chapters talking about the history of Israel. They were looking at God's people, and the church in that day was changing. Okay, Jesus had come onto the scene, and a lot of their customs, a lot of their traditions, a lot of the emphasis that was so important to them was changing, because Jesus came, and Jesus came for all mankind. So he didn't come just for the Jewish people, but he also came for the sinners, the Gentiles, the ones who weren't accustomed to knowing him and following the laws. And so you've got to understand that the people who had grown up in the church were seeing changes, and were seeing methods and things being done certain ways that they were questioning, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with the question, but I think that questioning was causing confusion in them. That questioning was causing them to speculate things. It was causing them to doubt things, and it was causing them to say, you know, what in the world is going on? And so Paul had just spent the past 2 chapters talking to the church, and he's, I think, trying to be a good, like I think any good leader would do, and he's trying to kind of please everybody. He's trying to say, okay, how can I make the Gentiles? How can I make the Jews? How can I calm the sheep down, right, the little sheep that are just going, what is going on? How can I calm them down and bring them some answers and just bring them together, because of what Jesus wants to do is so grand and so big. And so he's trying to do all these things. And I think that's kind of similar to where we're at today. You know, we've also heard the saying that the message is sacred, but the method is not. You guys heard that saying before? And I think it's so true, because the message of Jesus and the message of the gospel is pure. It's that God sent his only son to give this world hope and to give this world eternal life. But the method that we see that, you know, portray and be acted out in can take a lot of different shapes and forms to it, right? Case in point, a lot of you know I coach high school football. Well, the last number of years, the typical teenage boy in America has changed. Okay, if you are a coach or if you deal with young people, you know, because I could tell you 10 years ago, I could go to a group of football playing young men, and I could get my coach voice on, and I can yell at them, and I could say, "You guys need to suck it up and give me more." And you know what most of them would have done? Sucked it up and given me more, right? They just would have. But you say today, suck it up and give me more, and you will have at least 3 to 5 emails on how we need to be a little more gentle and not yell, because yelling isn't good, and we don't want to hurt the boy's feelings. And I mean, I kid you not, they might quit if you yell at them too loud. Okay. And I think, unfortunately, it tells me that most teenage boys, most young people that I deal with when it comes to football coaching, unfortunately, they don't have a voice of a father that is in their life. And so when they get challenged, when they get, you know, an opportunity to, you know, rise to the occasion, they never have that voice speaking into them. And so they don't even know how to handle it, right? Other than, maybe I won't do this football thing. And even the young men that do have fathers, their fathers don't know how to be fathers. And so they don't have those conversations with their sons. They don't challenge them. They don't encourage them. And so any form of, encouragement, any form of prodding them along, calling them to their higher standard, calling them to their God-given destiny, any form of that, if it's not taken, it's just an encouraging way, they don't even know how to handle it. And so their only result or only way to deal with it is like, well, I guess I'll be done. I'm not going to go off on a tangent of, you know, giving trophies to everyone for participating, though I could, but I think the heart is, if I'm a bad coach, I'm going to keep yelling and keep, you know what, they're just going to listen to it. But if I am really grasping the seasons and grasping what God is doing and where that person is at, I'm going to change my coaching style. Not to, okay, here's a trophy and a cookie, but to, okay, how can I encourage these young men? How can I motivate these young men to get the results that I'm wanting? Because again, the message is still the same, but it's the method that I believe that we have gotten hung up on, and it's caused us to become maybe not as effective as Christ wants us to. So Paul is pretty much concluding everything that's going on. And again, he's not dealing in this scripture with little issues. We're talking about issues that have been in their culture for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he's hitting these issues head on, and he's got people freaking out over these issues. And at the end of the day, his dialogue is what we just read. At the end of the day, his dialogue is, our God is wise. Our God is rich. His ways are unheard of. His judgments are true. He's wise. He's knowledgeable. He knows what he's doing. Who am I to question God? I know that God's in control. Okay, so if we look at the methods of the Lord, number one, we need to understand that even if we don't understand every detail of the plan, right, we may be tempted to fight over the details in life. Number one, that God's methods are full of wisdom in knowledge. If I were to put it in layman's terms, God knows what he's doing. Okay, so if you haven't settled that issue in your heart, I want to encourage you that you can trust the ways of the Lord and you can trust in his knowledge. In Isaiah 55, it says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and this is God talking, my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so I just want to encourage you that we need to come to grips with God's ways are not your ways, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, but God's thoughts towards us are good. God's thoughts towards us are right. God's intentions in our life are to grow us and to make us the young man or woman that he's called us to be. So if you haven't settled that issue in your life, I encourage you to settle that issue. That God's intentions for you are good. And God's ways are wise and are knowledgeable. And his methods aren't just mad, but they will make sense, and that he's doing a miracle in the midst of that mess in your life. Okay, the word unsearchable, okay, it's only mentioned two times in the New Testament. Okay, the word unsearchable literally means this, and with the snow outside, I think we can all wrap our heads around it. It means incapable of being traced by footprints. Okay, so when I see the snow, and I can always tell if someone's been here. Well, the ways of God are unsearchable, meaning sometimes you can try to reason and try to say, well, I think God's doing this, but God's ways aren't even going to make sense. You can't even trace them. And so the only response is, I don't know, I don't get it, but I know that God's ways are right and wise and full of knowledge. Amen? So that, number one, his methods are full of wisdom and knowledge. The second thing when we're looking at God's methods is, I would put it this way. It's okay to ask God questions, but don't question God. Okay, it's okay to ask God questions, but don't question God. Verse 34 of our text in Romans, it says this, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who's given a gift to him that he might have to repay it? In other words, Paul's saying, how can you, as a mortal human, even think you can understand God's ways? You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. That verse doesn't apply to God. Right? God, it's not like, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Maybe you need to go get a second opinion, God. Have you ever thought that? You know, maybe God needs to go back to his multitude of counselors because there's safety. No. God doesn't need to do that because God was the one who not only is executing the plan in your life, but God is the one that has designed that plan in your life. Right? So we don't need to sit there and question about, God, maybe you should go back to the drawing board, try it again with a different strategy. No. Right? Who are we to question God? Right? God doesn't need a second opinion. Right? And when we serve him, it's not like we're doing him a favor. Have you ever thought that you're doing God a favor by living your life for him? I used to think that way. Oh, God, I'm just doing God a favor. Unfortunately, the bubble that gets popped needs to get popped. Oh, God needs me to do things for him. Well, I want to just tell us that he doesn't need us for anything, right? God, he's God, right? He doesn't need my help. But the cool thing is, because he's a father, he wouldn't do it without our help. Because of his heart, he doesn't do things on his own. Okay, we'll get there in a little bit. I believe as you ask God questions in your life, what it does is it opens up his heart. When you say, God, why are you doing it this way? God, I don't understand what this means. You're going to get a glimpse and a revelation of who he is as a father. You're going to get a glimpse of his motive. You're going to get a glimpse of who he is, his character, his nature. Unfortunately, when we question God, anytime you question God, you become skeptical. Right, I think that's true for questioning humans. Anytime I think you're out to get me, well, guess what? You are. Right? Because I just know it. So anytime we start questioning God, we become skeptical of his intentions. We become skeptical of his plans. We become very limited in our understanding. And so I love this because Paul's conclusion is, you know what? Of all the questions, I'm going to ask the questions, but it's not going to change my response to God. And I hope that in our questioning, it doesn't change our response to God. The next thing I want to talk about is that the method reveals the motive. Okay, when I see God doing things in my life, a lot of times if I just look a little deeper, I'm going to see God's motive. I'm going to see God's plan. God's plan has always been to reveal his heart. Okay, we got to understand that this whole Christmas thing, it's God wanting to reveal his heart to his sons and to his daughters. I don't think we question the message very often, right? No one questions Christmas. No one questions a miracle when it happens, not regularly. But we always are questioning the way that it's happening, right? And then because we're smart and because we are educated, we become what I call method masters. You guys know what a method master is? You know, well, I read in the New Testament that Jesus healed someone's eyes from spitting in them. And so if I just become a good face spitter, then I'm going to see miracles. You know, I read one verse where it says Jesus took his finger and put it in their ear. So I'm just going to become a good ear sticker inner, and miracles are going to happen. So I go to school, I'm being the best, you know, I'm going to stick, or you know what? Jesus grabbed that guy's tongue one time, so I'm going to go around and grab people's tongues. Well, if that's the word of the Lord, and if that's the strategy and the method that God wants to do, well then, you know, listen to what God's saying. But if you're just going around thinking, I'm just going to start sticking my fingers in people's ears and see them get healed, you're probably going to get in trouble. You're probably not going to be received very well. You're probably not going to have anyone around you to stick your finger in their ears much longer because everyone's going to be like, especially if you lick your fingers first, right? You just don't do that. But I think that the point is we get hung up on these methods and we think, well, that's the only way that God's going to work. God is a God of method, but his methods aren't always the same. Okay, what we need to do is we need to get good, and I need to get good at understanding what the strategy and the method of God is for that moment. Understanding that, as Steve said earlier, We're going to shout. Well, you know what? In worship, there's a time to shout. Amen. But you know what? There's also a time to kneel. And if you're shouting when God says, no, it's a time to kneel, well, you're going to be off. Right? That strategy isn't going to work. And so I don't want to get good at just being a good, you know, method masterer. I want to get good at hearing what God's strategy is for that moment that he has us in. Because I believe if as we're doing that, he's going to then give us the right method to see the miracle take place. Make sense? Awesome. So we, again, not just method masters, but hear what is the Spirit of the Lord saying. Because in doing so, you're going to understand his heart. The next thing that we need to grasp this morning is, as I close, is in God's method, God chooses you. God chooses you. In our story of Mary, God chose Mary. Out of all the ways to save the world, I can think of some pretty cool ways. I can think of some pretty cool stories and different things that would happen to see if I was God, if I had the master plan. But out of all the things to do, God chose you and I. Okay, again, he's God, so he could do anything he wants to do, right? Anything. If he wanted to save the world in an instant, if he wanted to change every circumstance in your life so it was just perfect, he would. If he wanted to just, you know what, I need to save the world, so I'm just going to call him saved, I believe he could do that. But he chose a different way. He chose us. Again, it may sound really bad this morning, but God doesn't need us to advance his kingdom on this earth. He doesn't. And I know that's really a bubble bursting for, it was for myself, to realize, no, God doesn't need me, but God chose me. God doesn't need you, but he's chosen you. And that's what I love about the heart of our Father, is that he chooses to involve his kids as part of the plan, as part of the redemptive plan for his world. And I believe, again, if God wanted to send his son another way, he would have. But the miracle is in the method, right? The miracle is in the fact that he chose Mary. Think about it. Think about the story of Mary. He comes to a virgin in a time in history where if you were pregnant outside of marriage, really bad. Like, your life is over. Like, it's not just like, oh, you know, I guess there's a chance at a second virginity, right? And I'm not making light of that this morning, but it was very serious in their culture. And so, do you think God knew the seriousness? Yeah. She's in a very vulnerable stage in her life, about to be married. Okay, and in a culture where you want to remain sexually pure and you're about to get married, how many of you know that you're pretty vulnerable? Right? I remember when my wife and I, like, were, you know, before we were married, it was like, you know, we're not just going to hang out at all hours of the night before we get married, right? Because bad things happen after 11 o'clock, okay? But, right, so she was in a very vulnerable place in her life. Okay, think about what the Lord was asking her to do. He was asking her to say yes to the ridicule, to say yes to the ruined reputation, to say yes to the dirty looks, to say yes to allowing people to speculate. Yeah, right. Yeah, right, she's a virgin. Right? He was saying, but will you, in spite of those things, receive my miracle? Will you be willing to accept the method that I want to do so I can do something through your life? Right? Think about Joseph. Joseph, the father, will you be that guy that everyone is going to think, that guy, right? He already did his thing. Will you be willing to love her, to walk her through this, to trust a plan greater than you understand? Think about it for a minute. Do you think God knew what he was asking them? I do. But they had to be willing, right? I believe that there's probably a lot of strain on their relationship. Talk about having a first year of marriage, dealing with all that. But I believe that's part of the power of this thing, is that they were willing to say yes to the miracle and to the method that God wanted to do, not just around them, but that God literally wanted to do through them. Right? There was a power that comes when she willingly submitted and said, I am your servant, Lord. Let it be as you say. And I think today we have the same question is being asked of us. That will you be willing to carry and walk through the methods that God has you walk through so that you will birth miracles in your life? Will you be willing to accept the ridicule or the questions or whatever it is so that you can allow God to work through your life? That's when things get really fun. But I've looked a little bit through the New Testament, and I haven't found one miracle that God did that he didn't include a human. Where he didn't take someone's faith and go through them. Why? Because we get to know his heart. As he uses us and he goes through us, we're going to begin to understand who he is and that his Father's heart is truly going to change her and change us, right, as it did Mary, referring to her. Would you guys stand? I'm going to close, and I just want to bring one more thing out. Steve, would you just come and play? But I think what's really important for us this morning and even this season is, had Mary not said yes, I don't believe it would have been Mary. Right? It was her willingness to submit to what God wanted to do in her life. And we can read this later on in Mary's response to what God says, but I believe that the angel visited her, and then it says she went to go be with her Elizabeth for a while, who was also pregnant. And I bet you on that travel, it's not like she hopped on the bus, but on that travel, I bet you she started thinking about the realities, about what this really means, right? That'd probably be a good opportunity to, you know what, God, maybe I'll change my answer, right? Maybe I'm not willing. But you can read it at the end of chapter 1 of Luke. And this is the response that I believe the Lord would look for us, as we can look at the methods and say, man, God, I want the miracle, but I don't know about that method. Mary's response is this. It's, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in the God who's my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant, and from now on, all generations call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to those who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He's exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel, and he's remembered to be merciful. For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. So this morning, in this season of miracles, in this season of even looking at your life and the methods that God is using to birth miracles, will you be faithful to say, God, I'm willing? Will you say yes to those promises? Will you say, yes, God, I want you to do miracles and I want you to do them through me? Because he's not going to do it without this willing submission. So, Father, this morning, as we come together, Father, as we look at you, as we look at your word, as we look at you are the God of miracles, Father, we accept that you are a God with methods, with procedures, and even the methods and the procedures that you have us in this very moment. Father, we say yes. Father, we say yes to those things. Just as Mary, Father, we look at our own lives, we ponder what's going on. We don't understand it. We have the questions, but it brings us to a place of saying yes. Father, we're willing to say yes to you working through us. Come on, do it in your own way. Respond to the heart of the Lord this morning. But Father, we even look at everything that's going on, all the questions, all the doubts, and we could say, God, you're wise. God, you're full of knowledge. God, we don't question you. God, we acknowledge that you are the wonderful counselor, the great I am, the mighty God. We acknowledge all those things to you. Father, that even in our lack of understanding, we understand that you are in control. Father, I ask that each of us would come to that place in our own lives. God, I ask that you would truly do miracles through us. Father, like Mary, that we would be willing to embrace maybe the ridicule, the thoughts, the ponderings, the judgments, to see miracles happen through us. Father, I release miracles to take place in your people. Father, and I release that as they walk through this season of miracles, Father, that they would find your heart, that they would find Father God is ready to walk with them, to talk with them, to encourage them. Father, would you be with us as we go today? Father, as we celebrate your season, let us be ones who release the miracle-working power to those around us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You received that this morning? Awesome. Well, God bless you. We're just going to go in his grace, and let's go be in conduits of what he wants to do in and through our lives. You're released.